process. If it was the vaccine, you start seeing them go up and up and up and up, and they never come down, right? Because the vaccine would be a poison, and you'd see the kind of excess deaths from chronic poisoning. You don't see that. And the CDC statistics, by the way, they come from the Departments of Vital Statistics in the 50 states, who all get dumped into a central Department of Vital Statistics in the United States government, which then gets vetted by the CDC. But it's very hard to screw those up, because it's 50 different states all reporting independently. So if you've got some idea that those statistics have been all messed up, you can look at the Department of Vital Statistics for any of the given 50 states and see they show the same pattern. So you'd have to have somebody nefariously messing with the statistics of every one of the 50 states, and good luck with that paranoid theory. As for the idea of early treatment, I'm all for it, as long as it's shown to be really good. I have to tell you, I read the first paper on ivermectin when it was still a thing killing the virus. In addition, I said, these guys can't convert nanograms per mil to micromolar. That's how badly they did this. And virologists use nanograms per mil, pharmacists use micromolar. And I said, I'm looking at these amounts that it needs to kill the virus in the dish or stop its replication. And that's something no human could take. I've used ivermectin in dogs forever. If you give a human or a dog that much ivermectin, they go into seizures, all right? I said, this is never going to work as an antiviral. And it turns out the very best studies, one of which is in the New England Journal last May, show that it doesn't work. So you may be a big believer in ivermectin, but I am not, because it has no good mechanism.
And I would encourage you to go to FLCCC. They've got, pages full of documents that counteract everything you just said with regards to ivermectin.
Yes, and pages of documents which show that everything I said is true. There are lots of negative ivermectin studies, too, and you can pick them out one way or the other.
Well, I would disagree, but again,
I would disagree as well, and I would say, too, doctor, that those of us who are treating didn't rely on ivermectin alone. This is a multi-drug early treatment protocol that dealt with, I'll tell you.
Yes, it's McCullough's kitchen sink. We call it the kitchen sink, okay? I'm well familiar with it. But what? The problem with kitchen sink treatments is you can't prove they work because it's the kitchen sink.
Okay, the problem with the vaccine is that you can't make the claim that if you wouldn't have had the vaccine, that you wouldn't have, you would have gotten more ill or died.
The three vaccine trials that we licensed the vaccines with had a placebo control, and they were double blind, randomized. Not only did the doctors not know who got the vaccine versus the saline, but the patients didn't either. So there was no bias that way.
That's not severity.
These were people who were hospitalized versus not. That was the end point of the studies. That wasn't death, and it wasn't whether you get the disease. It was just being hospitalized for it.
Okay, we get that you believe in it. So my only
I don't believe in it. I have the evidence from the New England Journal of Medicine, and you are ignoring it. All right.
Okay.
This is not a belief in faith. Okay. I've read the studies. Have you read the studies?
First of all, I took your speaker away because you're being rude and disrespectful, and I guess he left. Oh, well. All right. It's not that I mind people disagreeing with us. It's when they start becoming disrespectful and their tone becomes hateful that's when they go. So now that's the third
time. My tone might have been a little rough, too, there.
No, I thought you were actually doing pretty well. Anyways. All right, and I know Ben was just going to lay into him like crazy, and so I was trying to head that off. Right, Ben?
You got to stop that because
people have been so patient.
It's a representative.
Oklahoma or bold Barbie.
And just for clarification, I didn't kick him out of the room. All I did is take his speaker away so I could speak to what he was saying about me. And then he chose to leave. So anyways, all right. That was kind of interesting. Now I'm awake. So let's go with bold Barbie, and then Gnostic, you're next, and then Oklahoma, and then I think we're going to start wrapping it. You know me, I'm a 2 to 3 hour guy max.
Hi, everybody. I appreciate the space. I've been listening, and I feel like I should be paying for this conference because it's so educational, and everybody seems so nice and entertaining. I didn't know if I'm allowed to ask a question as somebody that has like this health enigma going on for 2 years.
Sure.
That nobody. Oh wow! Because
so
I've
can
been.
Ask. So here's the deal. You can ask. You're not going to get medical advice. You've heard that a million times. But what you will get is input with regards to maybe things you could think about or things you could try. How's that?
Yeah, that would be amazing. I appreciate everybody. Right before COVID even started, or excuse me, before the news told us it started, it was probably like July of 2020. I started noticing I had muscle weakness. And that's my whole issue. I'm sorry.
So we heard about COVID January 2020. Most people think it started breaking out in China around September of 2019. So do you mean you mean before?
Yeah.
Okay.
I apologize. It was then. I'm referencing 2019 then.
Got it. Okay.
I'm in my 40s, so I'm going through, like, hormonally, it's called perimenopause, like when a girl, I mean, I know you guys know what that means. I'm sorry. So I noticed I felt like I had muscle weakness, and that's my whole issue, even a couple years later. It's muscle weakness. It's not anything else. It's nothing like that. It's just the muscles are weak, and they get tired. Even washing my hair, I can't do the steps, getting off the couch. It's just craziness. And I've been to 3 rheumatologists. They keep sending me to other ones. I've been to a neurologist, I've been to an internist, and I get different answers from all 4 or 5 of them, and I'm still here, weak, making my fried egg today with my arm hanging like it's lead weight. And it's like I have nobody, like what you were saying before, the doctor's job is to make the patient, you know, invest in the patient, make them feel like they're getting help. I honestly don't feel like that from any of them, from all 4 of these people. It feels like I'm on my own.
You saw 3 rheumatologists and an internist?
Correct, and a neurologist.
And a neurologist, okay. So you had a lot, you've had a lot of blood work and a lot of imaging studies probably, right?
Yeah, could I tell you the only positives that came out of those tests?
Okay.
They all showed a positive ANA, anti-nuclear antibody. I don't know if it's called a titer. The titer was 160. And they showed Sjogren's syndrome antibody. However, all the doctors say that me just having muscle weakness isn't associated with that, with those specific antibodies.
So what, like they don't have, what did they recommend to do?
The one recommended me wait a couple years because it'll probably take 4 or 5 years for anything autoimmune to be figured out. And she said that as she rolled her eyes on my
really?
Video call.
Did she really say that, or is that your perception?
No. I promise you, she rolled her eyes on our video call, the telehealth
years.
Call.
I
know. I'm sorry?
She actually said wait 4 to 5 years.
She said you'll probably be having to wait 4 or 5 years for anything to come up, and you'll probably see another 5 doctors.
All right, let's check her off the list. What else did people say?
She said it possibly could be fibromyalgia, but she didn't know. So I went to a neurologist. The neurologist did needles. It's a special test where they put needles in my muscles.
Right.
As I try to strengthen them, or I do something when he tells me to with the needle in there.
Right.
He said that was fine. He did ENG, I think it's called, where they test the nerves of me.
Well, that's what you were just talking about. It's electromyogram.
Oh, okay, well, there was another one where they did shocks to the nerves. There was 2 separate tests I did in one day there.
What they're looking for is conduction abnormalities in your nerves, peripheral nerves. Okay, so what did that doctor recommend to do?
He recommended me to see a rheumatologist, and I said, that's who sent me to you.
Got it.
So he picked out
another rheumatologist, and what did that person say?
that person said, when she saw my chart, she said, oh, you, it looks like from a couple years ago, she said, oh, it looks like you have Sjogren's syndrome. And I said, well, the rheumatologist told me, no, I don't. She just sees an antibody. And because I don't have any other antibodies or inflammation in the lab. So
what did that one suggest to do?
She said, well, I think you do have Sjogren's because I, if I see an antibody, then that's how I say it.
Okay.
What
was the treatment?
She said, I don't think the muscle weakness is associated with those antibodies. So she said, sorry, I'm getting tongue-tied. Sorry.
The reason I'm kind of speeding you up a little bit is because, you know, I've had experience with rheumatologists. And, you know, rheumatology is many of the syndromes and the diseases are clinical diagnoses. So there isn't a particular test that says you have this. I mean, when I was seeing a rheumatologist, I asked him, what's the diagnosis? And he basically said, oh, it's this rheumatoid spondylopathy, which is just a big basket term. So they don't, oftentimes they can't make a specific diagnosis, but sometimes they will think of things. I'm surprised no one empirically said try Enbrel or Humira.
I might not have got to all that part yet. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I had this last rheumatologist lady, she said that because it's just muscle weakness and just muscle fatigue, it's not like some of these other immune issues that have all these other things going on. She said, I present as myositis. So I got a special testing from Oklahoma. It took 5 months and they just came back all negative.
So what's your name? Barbara?
It's Jill.
Jill?
Like Jack and Jill. Jill.
Go on. You know what Tubi is?
Nope.
So Tubi is a, you know, it's an app for streaming movies and shows. T-U-B-I.
Okay.
Go download it and search a show called Aluminum.
Okay.
Because it specifically talks the whole show about your exact symptoms.
Okay, Tubi and Aluminum.
Yeah. Now, the question, though, is, again, you know, all this stuff. Here's a quick question. Now, again, remember you're talking to an OBGYN. So, nurse practitioner, jump in anytime you want. But my questions, if you were my sister, let's pretend you're my sister. Of course, I'm told you could be my daughter. Let's pretend you're my daughter. I would ask, did anybody check a vitamin D level?
If there's any way I could just interject, between all these doctors over 2 years, like I'm my biggest advocate, of course, I won't stop. My D was fine. I'm sorry?
What was your vitamin D level?
I think it was in the 30s or the 40s, but most recently I got it checked from the OBGYN because I'm trying to get on hormone replacement therapy because I think maybe that might help because I know that has to do with loss of strength and weakness.
You know you're talking to a gynecologist, right?
I didn't know that until you just said that, but yeah, I just heard you.
But anyway, so what was your most recent vitamin D?
My most recent, the OBGYN did all these hormone labs and she said I need to be on 5,000 to 6,000 D3 a day. So that's what I'm doing. And in my D was 29.
Right. So you want to get that level in the 50s to 60s, first of all. That's a no-brainer. Okay. So vitamin D is a tumor necrosis factor inhibitor. Okay. I used to be on Humira. Everybody in my family was on Enbrel and Humira for rheumatic diseases. Since we went whole food plant-based, and probably even before that, since we got our vitamin D levels up, all of us are off all those medicines. So I just talked to a patient yesterday and did the quick math. Between the six of us, we were bringing in $500,000 a year to the system, and we got rid of all of that by getting our vitamin D levels up and by going whole food plant-based. Now, do I know that would work for you? No. But I do know that other things will improve. And by the way, if you can't lift your arm, that's more than just a, quote, little weakness. You did say that, right?
Yeah, like I'll feel okay, but yeah, if I, like,
I used to be so bad that I couldn't even brush my hair or get dressed. And,
oh, wow.
And Embril took it all away overnight. And then when COVID hit, I was too afraid to stay on that crap. And that's when I learned about vitamin D. And I've been off all those, as well as everybody in my family, for a year and a half. So, you know, as a friend or as a fatherly figure, I would say get that vitamin D up well above 50, maybe even the 60s. And also look into whole food plant-based eating, because everything that has to do with fat and processed foods and protein is pro-inflammatory. So you want to make your body as little inflammatory as possible. And if you look at my tweets, you'll see a gazillion places to start learning. Okay?
Is there okay if I just say literally 10 seconds worth of something in case it meant anything to you?
Sure.
Thank you so much. The neurologist nurse, she's the only one that I liked out of all these women or men. She was the only one that took to me. She actually tried me 6 months ago on Plaquenil, which is an immune drug or something.
Yeah, that's hydroxychloroquine. That's what we all do. Uh-huh.
Okay, I did that.
We take it for COVID, though, but go ahead.
Oh, wow. Well, I did that 6 months. It never worked at all. And then she tried me on something called azathioprine. And in 4 months, I felt like my normal self, like even rolling around in bed, I didn't feel heavy. I felt like I just turned around like normal without heaviness to my muscles.
Right. So what that is an anti-inflammatory. So again, it's getting back to what I was saying earlier. Everything has to do with inflammatory pathways. So the idea is to make yourself as less inflammatory as possible. And in my view, it's through vitamin D and diet.
Okay, I appreciate everybody, and thank you.
Hey, wish you well. Come back and keep coming back and tell us how much you're improving, because I know you will if you can do it. Go on Tubi, and while you watch Aluminum, watch Forks Over Knives and start the whole pathway, and then I've got a whole list of stuff to keep the education going.
Yeah, and that's great, and I don't disbelieve in plant-based. That's awesome. Another thing too, just as a blanket statement for autoimmune diseases, is the AIP diet, the autoimmune protocol, to look into. That's another one that could be helpful. That's typically employed.
Yeah. If it's okay, just to say this one last statement, because this is what I can't get an answer from any of the doctors. Because that immune is up, like it's called ANA, is positive. I don't know if someone like me it should be on an immune drug. Like, I don't know if I should go back, on azathioprine, or if I'm fine not taking anything. And like, it feels like none of the doctors are saying which way to go. Like, I have no idea. Like,
I feel like now we're into giving medical advice.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, but thanks for the questions. It's been a good,
but just as a general statement, ANA, anti-ANA is just a very, very non-specific. And the one thing about your rheumatologist that they should have done, which they sound like they didn't do, is just say the obvious, and that is, I don't know, right? Because that's, I tell patients all the time, I don't know if I don't know. And then I'll say, well, but I can do this and this and this. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that specific. But Michelle's right. Just
Thank you, guys.
But you will improve if you do those things. I guarantee.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I look forward to it. So thanks.
Okay. Gnostic, go ahead. Thanks for patience. Oh, we lost him. Her.
No, you haven't.
Oh, okay.
Just, I was deeply into Dr. Harris's site and going through some stuff. Just when you were talking about children, my daughter was born in difficult circumstances, and when we finally took her in to get her vaccination, I didn't realize they actually vaccinated her in the hospital while she was in the NICU. But when we took her in to get her upgraded shots, I looked at the doctor, and this is the time frame when a lot of stuff was coming out about autism being caused by vaccines.
So what year?
This was 2005, middle of 2005.
Got it.
And the doctor, you know, when I looked at him and said, you know, can you show me the research on this? So like, you know, and the insert pamphlet, so I can at least see what the, you know, what the listed adverse effects are. And then, you know, I'll have somebody look at the research and bring her back. And his comment to me was, I thought you were smarter than that. And I deal in a business, well, a little more stuff. I deal in a business which is the highly speculative securities. So I'm constantly dealing with psychopaths, sociopaths, liars, cheats, people who lie, people who do all sorts of stuff, you know, on that on an ongoing basis. So let's just say I tend to be suspicious of things to begin with, but yeah. As soon as somebody attacks me on a personal basis relative to something, that just about every alarm I have gets set off.
Absolutely.
And I looked at him and I said, that's not a reasonable thing for a physician to say.
And then what did...
Well, I asked him for some references and other things. And unfortunately, this is in British Columbia. And I know the medical issues. I think you're in Canada, so you understand a whole bunch of the medical issues that are going on.
No,
here in
I'm
this country.
Not. I'm in Florida.
Oh, okay. Hey, well, don't knock it. I'll be there.
You may have heard my ancestors migrated to Canada, but then my mother came down as a 10-year-old.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'll probably be there. I'll probably be close behind you. Bought a place forgot the name. Right in the middle of while I'm talking. West coast of Florida. Tampa.
There you go. Yeah.
And I've got another one from there. Got another one on the East Coast, so we'll see which one I like best and rent out the other one. Anyway, when I ask him for, you know, literature,
so
things,
you're part of the problem, you know, you're part of the problem.
Which one?
It's like guys like you that are driving the real estate prices like crazy here.
Oh, hey, no, I live in Vancouver. You haven't seen crazy.
Well, yeah, I get it. Okay, I'm
sorry. In New York and Vancouver. You haven't seen crazy.
So 2005. You were told to get shots. You asked for information. They were rude and disrespectful to you. Uh-huh.
Well, you know, it was an offhand comment that he made. You know, just I thought he was smarter than that. Just basically to shut the person up because he's a doctor. I'm not a doctor, blah, 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 all the rest of that stuff. So I understand where it came from and why he was doing it and what he was using it for. But the catch is that for me, I run a news agency. So we stuck, I think, about 5 or 6 reporters on it to start digging. And, you know, his nurse phoned me up and said, you know, bring her back for whatever. And I said, well, okay, I'll come back. So he took a stack of about a foot high of research from some pretty controversial sources and some regular sources and took it into him and said, this is the research we dug up. Now, for all of the vaccines in there, I'd like you to separate some of them if we're going to go through and do this. But at this point in time, I'm not going to give my daughter the full spectrum. And I doubt I'll get her vaccines of any sort going forward until we sit down and do some stuff. And now, I've been suspicious of medical systems and medical practice for a long time when it's done on a socialized basis, which in Canada, we basically got socialized medicine. And so it's basically rationed medicine. So you don't get a straight answer out of a lot of people. And we started digging at it. And it ended up, when COVID came along, I've got some interesting sources, and we followed COVID from sometime in the spring of 2019.
So can I interrupt for a second?
Go ahead.
Yep. Getting back to the 2005 time period. So first of all, my first comment is that I am very envious of you because my belief, and you know, we had were you in here with Dr. What was the pediatrician's name?
Yeah. Well, there's a doctor that left that I was in here to hear.
No, that was Harris. So somebody, I'm blanking out now. We had a pediatrician in here earlier, and he seemed incredibly knowledgeable. So I wish he was here to comment directly. But as a non-pediatrician, my comment to you as a father of three who didn't think critically and went along and had all his kids vaccinated, and now after spending 2 years looking into the details of childhood vaccines, I'm of the firm belief that two of my three kids were severely vaccine injured and one ultimately lost his life because of it. So I congratulate you that you had that attitude for your kids. And so what's the end of the story as far as how many vaccines they ended up getting?
I think they got 5 of the entire schedule.
Wow. And I'm presuming they're alive and well?
well, she's just turning 18. I don't know if you can actually say of any 18-year-old daughter who's got a single father that things are alive and well.
Be grateful you have an 18-year-old daughter, man.
Oh, no, it's worse than that. She was born at 27 and a half weeks.
Oh, okay. So there are lots of issues then, I guess, huh?
Well, no, actually there aren't. The effort that was made was Herculean. We calculated between $5 and $6 million was spent just getting her born.
Yeah.
To the medical services. So you can, at 27 and a half weeks, you can understand.
My belief is you didn't counter some of that benefit by highly inflammatory injections later on.
True.
I congratulate you.
Yeah, well, what it did do is it set me off on a path for sitting down and digging things. And one of the irritants that I ran into fairly recently was I get vitamins shipped up from Florida. I don't know if you know the company Life Extension.
Yep.
And we've been,
yep.
Life Extension has been fighting the FDA for a long, long time, and I've contributed to their fight and the rest of the stuff, and I import their vitamins and do all the rest of it. And in Canada, what we did is
when you say import, you mean for others' consumption or just for your own personal?
Just for my own. Just for my own.
Got it.
I have imported for others' consumption. That got to be really interesting when they raided the office in Edmonton with a full SWAT team and took away the records and all the rest of it. They were doing stuff for bipolar. And the vitamins seemed to stabilize bipolar people, and the medical community just did not like that.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Well, it turns out.
There was that other thing too. You know, Michelle is actually the one that turned me on to lifestyle, so she probably knows more than I. But then there was that other thing where they wanted to. Was it NAC that was looking promising for a while there, and then they wanted to take it off as a supplement? Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And it's you shake your head and just go what in anything that looks like so. Anyway, three or four different things here, so just interrupt me and tell me to shut up at some point. But the pharmaceutical industry in Europe and North America has gotten into the vitamin business basically to take anything that's efficacious within the naturopathic division, naturopathic and vitamin process, and put it into pharmaceutical, and then make anything that would be efficacious illegal and subject to prescription if it's going to be efficacious, which means the pharmaceutical business would essentially control the vitamin business. And in Canada, we fought that tremendously. I fought it with Life Extension to prevent it from going into the States and in lots of subsequent issues. And it's still a debate as to whether that's actually going to... Lobbying in the U.S. is such a phenomenally expensive process. Trying to get people that actually make sense to deal with some of the laws is next to impossible. But in Europe, what they're trying to do is and the States now, is try to sit down and say, anything efficacious, you've got to get a doctor's prescription. Well, the doctors aren't even educated in the stuff, and there's no process for it. They just, you know, sit down and try. It's another effort to sit down and over-drug everybody, which I just object to tremendously. In Canada, we fought it so much, they created a division called the Naturopathic Division, and we were actually about to sue them, except I had to go to Germany and fight to get my daughter back, another story. But when I came back, all of a sudden, all of the amino acids were back on the shelf, and they had demanded an efficacious Canadian-only study that would cost about $5 million to get melatonin back on the shelf over the counter. And we said, this is ridiculous. You know, what are you doing? And eventually...
They took melatonin off the counter?
Yes.
In Canada?
Yes.
Regular melatonin?
Yes.
Is like prescription only now?
No. History, historical.
Okay.
There was an athlete, Olympic athlete, who was using amino acids to enhance his performance. And this is how ridiculous this stuff gets. There was a person working in Health Canada that decided that, well, he was using melatonin, so we should make them illegal. So made all amino acids illegal in Canada for a period of time, which was just ridiculous. So we were driving down to the States, getting the stuff imported. The enforcement officer for Health Canada and I became, let's just say, the concept of an antagonistic relationship took on an entirely different viewpoint for him. I was stopped at the border once with some vitamins and some other things, and they were going to take them away. And I just said, just call him. Here's his cell number. Just call him. He lives about 6 blocks away. And they said, you want the enforcement officer here? oh yeah, have him come down, we'll have a chat. And while he was coming down, I had my lawyers come down. So he arrived, my lawyers were there, lawyers were just sitting there, he knows my lawyers, we're just sitting there looking at him going, well? And he just looked at the officer and said, I would highly suggest you just let this blank, 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 blank person through, because right now your fax machine should be going off, this was quite some time ago, with a list of FIFO requests that will keep you occupied for about 6 months. And my machine is already going off, and you're going to spend 6 months doing nothing but paperwork if you keep this up. And the guy just looked at me and went, what? And his supervisor came around the corner and said, we have 16 FIFO requests here.
So you obviously are a very interesting fellow.
Well, I'm just saying that the fights that I hear you people talking about in here have actually been going on for many, many years in many different levels, and many different people have come across them.
So what does that mean for you, and what does that mean for you in 2022? What's your current focus, and where do you think your efforts should be placed?
Current focus is to come into rooms like this, and you may not like what I'm about to say, but the doctor who seems to have now left here, I think should have been treated, and understand, I'm not only am I on the side of almost everybody here, I'm even more extreme than a lot of people here. But I've learned that doing it on the extreme point and getting arguing and being emotional and all the rest of the stuff doesn't really accomplish what I want it to accomplish. It just pushes people further away to the opposite side, and it creates an issue. What I want to do is...
I absolutely agree with that statement. Absolutely.
What I'm trying to do is not lose my temper, even though much as I try not to, I don't always succeed in that, and would rather punch them in the face than keep my mouth shut and bite my tongue. I've got many holes in my tongue from biting it. But to basically try and get these people to their point so I can present an argument or a discussion that gets through to them in the mildest manner possible, just raising a question. So I'm trying to hone my skills to sit down and control my temper and my anger at the damage and everything else that COVID has done, and the amount of deaths that have been done. I had a discussion with the 27 and a half weeks means I had, you can understand what I did at 27 and a half weeks and how ill my wife must have been at that point. But it caused me to sit down and look at the medical system, and I actually phoned the Minister of Health and talked to the Deputy Minister of Health. And for somebody like me, the worst thing somebody can do is actually be totally honest. And in talking to the Deputy Minister of Health within the equivalent of my state, what she said to me was, the medical system is bad, it's corrupt, it's not spending money properly, it's misallocating funds, and it's rationing medicine, and literally it's falling apart, and there's nothing we can do to stop it because everybody that's involved in it at some point or other is participating in the process of it falling apart, whether it's doctors, nurses, cleaning staff, or the public who expect the best medical system on earth, and then what, because they don't interface with it, they don't understand that it's falling apart, so there's no political will to go in and fix it. And her statement, coming from somebody that's in charge of the health for the entire province, her statement was, the only way this is going to get fixed is when enough people die that everybody realizes that the system is broken.
Yeah, that's a bad comment, isn't it? Or if a celebrity's child dies and then people start paying attention.
Well, even a celebrity dying is not going to sit down and do it because it's not going to move enough people anymore. That's become normalized to such a degree that it just doesn't work. The bluntness of the statement, basically what she was saying is, we need help, and the only way we're going to get that help that we realize is if enough people actually die and it impacts the whole thing. And she was being bluntly honest. We dug really deeply at the statement after that and found there's an awful lot of people behind the scenes that actually feel the same way I did, that really have tried to get it fixed and haven't been able to get it fixed. And the medical system has just been deteriorating right across, not just here, but in the U.S. and other places, have been deteriorating and becoming regulatory captured more and more by the pharmaceutical business.
Right. Well, you know, it's the what's his name, Michelle, the psychiatrist at UCLA that lost his job, Cariotti. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Aaron Kearty. Yep.
Aaron Kearty. He just wrote a book about the new abnormal. and he calls it the biomedical complex. And yeah. it's a threesome of, you know, digital security issues, you know, the whole passport, currency, digital, the pharmaceuticals, the government. You know, it brings in just lots of interesting issues with regards to that the whole COVID thing was really managed more by the military arm of our government. You know, the other agencies were just the people following the orders and et cetera, et cetera. He gets really in depth in it.
Hey, Nasi, I was going to add something else to just what you said there. I was just going to add, you know, that statement by the person that you talked to that she had said about enough people dying. You know, it's spoken like a true administrator, someone who doesn't work with people on a daily basis and see individual death. Another thing that's a very concerning about that is, as we just saw earlier, is there will be other reasons. In other words, they will attribute these deaths to something else. We no longer have a climate where there is honesty about why these deaths are occurring. Thirdly, we see in Canada and all other places in Europe and even out in the Northwest coast is that dying isn't as big of a deal as it used to be. You see stories out of Canada about assisted death and things like this. Well, I guess death isn't the worst. You know, we have these things happening.
If I can just interrupt there, that is one of the most singularly most disgusting presentations that I've heard in a long time, because what the analysis comes down to is it's going to cost us more money to take care of this ill person than it is to allow them to die. So let's make assisted suicide a thing. Now, this isn't to say that there aren't situations, and I live in a place where there was a woman who really, you know, was very ill and was suffering gravely for an extended period of time. And, you know, there is a place for assisted suicide to sit down and help people. But the degree to which it's being counseled and manifested is just next to criminal. And I think just completely and absolutely wrong. And it's being used as a tool because keeping this person alive is going to cost more in the medical system than whatever else. And that's the other part that I didn't get to in the presentation was the problem with ration medicine is, and what through our research and digging up, what we found is children will be helped, but adults, the older you get, the less help you're going to get in the system. And private medicine is completely banned within the area. So right now, my concentration is to get private medical clinics working within the country where you can actually, they're a fee service, at least with a fee for service. Like my fee for services take place in New York and Denver right now.
I mean,
because I'll fly down there.
People who do work internationally, you know, there are countries all over the world that have a two-tier system. You know, you have the government system and then you have a private system. I mean, in South Africa, you have two hospitals right across the street from each other. Same thing in Nigeria. You have private and public, that kind of thing. But, you know, that most Americans don't like that concept, you know. And that's a very good but a very large conversation. Hey, listen, I am getting ready to wrap this up. I've actually gone an hour more than I usually do.
But thank you. But just if I can, thank you for the space.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for your patience. Thank everybody here for the work that they're doing. And, you know, be gentle on some people. They really do need it. If you can just leave them with a question, you know, that seems to be the deepest impact that you're able to make on whatever. There was a, just as a quick one, there was a study done at the University of Portland during the election between Trump and Clinton. And they were basically trying to see what parts of the brain light up. And the researchers said, well, let's throw in a picture of Clinton and Trump and see what happens. And they threw in the pictures in their study process, and they were using a functional MRI to sit down and monitor what happens in the brain. And what they found was that the frontal lobes just completely shut down and the amblygata just lit up.
Yeah.
Straight identity.
Yep.
And so you can't argue with somebody. In fact, is totally meaningless to somebody that now their identity is so tied to these things that arguments don't work and logic doesn't work and fact doesn't work.
Yeah.
And
belief systems.
And their belief, yeah, their belief systems are so tied to it that they can't be moved. And so right now my efforts are basically to sit down and get medical services properly done here. Develop my own skills so I'm able to sit down and not lose my temper, very difficult sometimes, and to pointedly just leave somebody with a question. So what I hear here, and some of the people that are in here know me and have heard me before, so just just so I can sit down and gently hone my skills to just do that one point. And some of the doctors that I'm listening to are excellent at biting their tongue and just gently listening to other people and taking it along. And I'm finding physicians seem to have that skill, generally speaking, much better home than I do for certain. So I'm learning a lot just from listening to you. So thank you for this space very much.
Well, hey, listen, I do this every Saturday at noon Eastern. So please join us next week. You have lots to share that's valuable. So I appreciate it. Hey, listen, I'm going to wrap it, but I can't leave without letting Ben talk. But Ben, you got to make it short, because I'm going to recommend anybody who's continuing to be interested in this, and I'm probably going to put it on the back as I hit into the hot tub, is there's this thing going on right now called In the Midst of Darkness, Light Prevails. And I can't think of a greater title to pay attention to than that. So go ahead, Ben, make it quick.
I will make that very short. You know, what the argument also is a representative of the current, the WHO healthcare system. Unfortunately, you can see the majority still following into that narrative. That also tell us this shit show might still gonna last because they are still following that narrative. Unfortunately, they are the one dominating the healthcare system. That's just a truth. And another one is we may need this concept to find a good, you know, epidemiologist and to really like look into the data about the vaccine, particularly for the kids, you know, correlation with that, you know, and if they can really sit together in the room, because here we have, you know, clinical science, right? You are doing that, Michelle's doing that, I'm doing basic science research, and I interact with all the MDs, but most are oncologists and infectious disease, but, you know, I really don't interact with epidemiologist, and that's something I consider to look for one that can join into our discussion. I think that could be helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, man. Okay, guys, have a great week. Think about how you can improve your own personal health, because everything is better when you don't have to rely on the system. You know, my approach is, like I said earlier, get that vitamin D up. Think about ways to improve your health through diet, exercise, get enough sleep.